Chapter 1. Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
My name is Dr. John Watson. You probably don't know me. In fact, my story is not particularly interesting. I studied medicine and then I went into the British Army. When I returned to the medical profession, I moved to the city of London to live in a house there with a friend. My address is possibly familiar to you. 221B Baker Street. The name of my friend you must certainly know, for he is probably the greatest detective in the world. My friend's name is Mr. Sherlock Holmes, and his cases are of exceptional interest. After several extraordinary adventures with Holmes, I decided to catalogue the amazing cases that he solved with his unique methods. So, I put pen to paper and started to write about them. Please excuse my imperfect technique. I am not a writer by profession, but I think I am the best person for the job. When Sherlock Holmes is on a case, I am always at his side to offer help when I can. My assistance is generally of a physical nature. I cannot presume to help him with the aspects of his cases requiring mental deduction. When necessary, I am ready to fight dangerous criminals. I was a good boxer when I was young. I can also use a pistol, and in the army, I had a good reputation as a marksman. Occasionally, my own profession is useful if someone is wounded during an investigation, or if, when murder is suspected, a doctor is needed to pronounce the cause and time of death. All this time I observe my friend Holmes at work. I cannot pretend to enter into the mind of such a genius, but I can record the things I witness. My job is to relate the facts of a case, and from these facts the reader can discover how the smallest fragment of evidence can become, for Mr. Sherlock Holmes, a key to solve the most extraordinary of cases. No case can be more extraordinary than the one Holmes recently solved in the Southwest. A case of murder, deception, and superstition with many incredible turns. A case that required us to combat not only a devious criminal mind, but also a horrific beast. It was some time after Holmes's return from Switzerland and his fatal encounter with his arch-enemy, Professor Moriarty, at the Reichenbach Falls. Here, I watched the two antagonists fight and fall from a terrible height into the cold water, and for a long time after, I believed my friend was dead. Then suddenly, he returned in time to solve the mystery of the empty house, and I was very happy and most relieved. Then, for a while, there were no crimes that captured Holmes's interest. Without the evil Professor Moriarty, Holmes did not have an adequate adversary to challenge his detective genius. He was bored, and when Holmes has nothing to occupy his brain, he becomes nervous and irritable. He takes his violin and plays the most melancholy of melodies, and he returns to his terrible habit, the use of cocaine. Often, as a friend and as a doctor, I tell him to stop this unhappy practice. He always says he can control his use of the dangerous drug, but I know that even the most intelligent mind can become dependent on this substance. Dependence on drugs can destroy the brain and cause death. At these times, I can only hope that a fascinating case will arrive to awaken his enthusiasm and capture his imagination. Fortunately, on this occasion, destiny brought to our door the Hound of the Baskervilles.